Hey everyone, it's Gina, and this is Seer Sessions. I am about to go into a session with Stephanie the hypnotist. You can find all her links in the show notes. She has a podcast too. Stephanie is about to log on. My intention is to experience another lifetime. Will I go to the red planet? I don't know, probably based on the past few sessions. But I remain open to whatever, because I think it's natural to be skeptical, kind of doubt what is coming to mind a little bit. And so at least right now, when I enter into the red planet, I like it to be an organic experience with an intention of these are the things I want to learn and I want to experience a lifetime to get me there. Who knows exactly what's going to unfold, but I gave Steph a number of questions to ask, whether it comes after scenes from another lifetime or if I end up on the red planet, she'll ask those questions there. I love her ability to be flexible, be open to wherever these sessions go. I trained Steph how to do hypnosis, and I love the way she leads a session. So I want to know, what is it to embody a higher consciousness? How do we know when we're doing it? What blocks me from doing it? What typically blocks people from doing it? Is there the same thing? Is it completely different person to person? We're going to find out together. No matter what happens, my intention is to access this knowledge, this information from my higher self, my eternal soul's wisdom. It's my understanding that there's a facet of my soul living a life on whatever this red planet situation is. That incarnated part of my soul on that planet is actually on that council. And as Gina, I started spontaneously going there in my dreams probably about 10 years ago and spontaneously started interacting with council members even off the red planet in meditations, I don't know, maybe like 3 years ago. And it's just been ramping up since then. If you're listening to this on a podcast, know that you can watch the video of this session on YouTube, and that link is in the show notes. Let's begin.
Are you open to go anywhere? Did you want to go to the red planet specifically?
I thought we could keep it open. I have a feeling that I will go back to the red planet. The last session I did with Julie like a week ago. It started in a scene in my kitchen on the red. Okay, this is so good, because this is actually how we're going to do it. Okay, so last time with Julie, it worked out really good. We started in the kitchen of the incarnation of an aspect of my soul on that planet, like in her home. What was cool to drop in on a regular evening.
Yeah.
There was this big praying mantis being in the corner, and he wasn't used to being on that planet, but had to be on that planet. We were working on a project together, but I was like, you need to get out of my kitchen. And it was this feeling of on this planet, your home is sacred.
Okay.
So sacred that it's rare to be invited into someone's home. It's like being invited into someone's bed here. That's okay. The equivalent. And not that you would never do that platonically. It's just kind of this feeling of like outside clothes in the bed, yeah. You know, outside person in the bed. So to have him in my kitchen was like, as if, think of like a project partner at work is like, sitting on the foot of your bed. You're like, why are you here? Get out of here. Yeah. And it was interesting how him and I were communicating and how his consciousness, his awareness dictated what I was able to communicate to him and communicate to other people telepathically while in the same room. Mm-hmm. Him and I were communicating telepathically. So if him and I are communicating telepathically, and then me and Baron are communicating telepathically, and we're all in the same space, breathing the same air, how does this praying mantis being know that we not know what Baron and I are talking about? Mm-hmm. And so it was interesting to see how what we're focusing on, it's like how closed the blinders, and then your emotion about it is like how closed are those blinders? Like how much else can you see outside of like exactly what directly are you focusing on? Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting. And then just how they handled this praying mantis being. And then he left, and then it was just Baron and I. Maybe the intention, and maybe just as I'm saying it here, mm-hmm. this is my intention to enter into the kitchen, into the home life of... It's like, how do I refer to her on that planet? So I guess how I would refer to her as the an incarnation of me on the red planet current day. And so that incarnation of me on the red planet go into the kitchen, kind of like in her daily life. So maybe we end up at the tree, mm-hmm. and instead of going through the door and ending up in another lifetime, we end up in the kitchen of this incarnation of me on the red planet. And from there, eventually we'll figure out, like, what am I doing there? Like, think of it as like a first scene on a past life regression, right? Mm-hmm. And eventually the cue will be, we're going to go to the council and ask some questions. And unless something wild unfolds, and I don't know, but if it's just kind of mundane everyday stuff, like, that's where we'll go. And then we'll go to the council and communicate with them. And another thing that I'm trying to get clear on is, in my session with Julie, because it was that unique experience where I was experiencing that lifetime instead of my awareness as Gina being on that planet alongside the incarnation of me in that lifetime. And it took me a little bit to get figured out where I was and what was going on and who was talking. And so that, I just want to say, it seemed like, which would make sense, I guess, if my intention is to ask my higher self, but have come to the conclusion that I want it through the language of a lifetime and the stories and the metaphor of a lifetime, then it would make sense that I'm getting this information from my higher self, from my eternal soul, but it's coming through the life on the red planet, which is the life where I embodied the most of these practices and principles that lead to a conscious evolution, a higher consciousness, a more peaceful, harmonious, creative, compassionate way of being. So when she was asking me a question, I would talk, but then I would say things like, wait, who's talking right now? Like, is this Gina or is this this incarnation of me? Which I just get the letter A. I want to get a name. So maybe we could ask that, yeah. Like, what's the name? Maybe we could ask that. But then I can just say A instead of this incarnated version of a facet of my soul on a different fucking planet, you know? So anyway, that might be a thing too. I might be speaking from her point of view. I might be speaking as Gina, getting information from the council members. I don't know. But sometimes I got to pause and kind of figure that out. And I'm assuming it'll settle into some kind of rhythm. But for now, it's a little confusing.
Sounds good. That's really interesting about the kitchen and, yeah, like living or experiencing that mundane life just to see what her vibe is.
In that space, if you have any organic questions that come up around regular life on that planet, insert them. I'm ready when you are.
Okay. So just taking a moment to settle in, turning into your surroundings.
I'm in the kitchen and I'm drinking what looks like to me hot water. And I keep thinking, what's in this hot water? I think it's just plain ass hot water. And it's morning. Yeah, this is my morning routine. And there's streams of light coming in through the window. And I have a lover here. Oh my. Okay. He just came from, it's like this dwelling is super little. It's almost, the dwellings are fixed and permanent because there's somehow this community is kind of like fixed. It's just everything's so rationed here. I get the feeling that in this moment, it's not the end, but it's like, this lover or romantic partner of mine and I, it's not marriage. It's this commitment to do life together, though. It's like their way of, okay, well, if you're going to live with someone, if you're romantically tied to them like that, instead of having two people in two little dwellings, but staying at one person's dwelling. It's not like a status thing or a, we love each other so much, so we're doing this next thing. It's this really logical way of, okay, well, if the two of you are going to be together, you know, more often than not, then we would move into a dwelling that's like a little bigger, made for two people. And then I don't get the sense people have kids here. I don't know. That's maybe a whole thing, but I don't get the sense that there's like kids here. And so that's just the elevation of it. And it's not considered, oh, this is your goal, is to get partnered and married here. It seems if you don't do that, people wonder. And there, it was just very logical. Like if you want to spend more time together than not, then you should just go to the same space because, you know, I'm sure at the same time, some people are not wanting to live together anymore and so want to go to their own spaces or whatever. It's just kind of like this ebb and flow, and it doesn't seem like, oh, this is, you're married forever and it's bad if you break up. It's just this kind of natural flow of, and people would even say, oh, when I used to live with so-and-so, this story, you know, occurred. Mm-hmm. And now they might be living alone, or they might be living with someone else, and maybe they lived alone in between, or maybe not. But there's no moral judgment to it. It's like your address. Like, it's just such a small part about you. So I get the sense that he is here all the time. And because of that, we're going to be moving out of this little place. But I really like living here. I like my alone time, but I can still have alone time. I know that. But it's something I want, even though I'm really going to miss living on my own. But it's a sweet little morning. And I get the sense that I'm going to work, and a part of my job has to do with the council that I'm on, and parts of my job are not with the council. But today, just given the intention, we're going to go right to the council to start our work day. And so my lover and I are just saying goodbye, and I'm leaving for the day. And I get in this, I have this cute little truck, and it's really old looking, but really well maintained. And now I'm just driving the little ways to, oh, this is interesting, because as Gina, I would walk it. But as I'm driving, my answer to the question of why wouldn't you just walk, that's being answered. Because as I'm driving, it's like a blizzard, but it's sand. Sand is blowing. I need my windshield wipers. Yeah, it would even probably be hard to walk in physically in the sand. It'd be hard to breathe. So I'm just slowly making my way there.
And as you're making your way there, did your lover say goodbye to you and mention your name? What does he call you?
It's like almost like AX, like axe, axe. I don't know if that's my name or if that's just what he calls me. You know, if it's kind of a nickname or a shortened version, but
like
axe. I'm setting the intention right now to remember that, and to, whether it's in this session or in meditation outside of these sessions, to have the name come to me. And if it's hard to put into letters, it would even be nice to know more sounds with it. Okay, so I'm pulling up to the place where the council meets. And yeah, it's just this vision that I've seen so many times before, even before I knew what I was looking at in meditation in the last few years. And it's blowing sand, and I'm walking up to this circular, like a donut, but a donut that is just doesn't have a hole. And it's steps to get up there because it's the time of year where the sand is low. So sometimes when the sand is high, it looks like this structure is just sitting on the sand, kind of like a tent, but it's low, so I'm walking up to it, and I feel really filled up having a nice morning with my lover and then going to a job that I really love and these people who I really love. So I feel just filled up and lucky.
Amazing.
And yeah, and now I went up the steps, and now I'm there. And there's other council members there, but they're fuzzy in the background. But Baron is there. And we're going to talk.
Is that what your job entails? Is it a lot of discussion or planning?
Yeah, it is a lot of discussion or planning. There's the work that we do here and the people who live here they're kind of in different categories based on their work and mostly based on their work. That's kind of how we manage the community and or what we would call work. They don't really see it as that separate, but also work on Earth kind of depletes most people. We're on the red planet. Everyone's doing work that like makes them feel purposeful and ignites their creativity and their joy. And so keeping that little flame going within each person is something that we take very seriously. And we see the benefits of that, not only to be a part of a community where people feel that way, but one-on-one relationships and just knowing that everybody deserves that. And the mission we're here to fulfill and what we're doing, we want to do a good job and we know that we stand on the shoulders of all the generations before us and we're creating the world for the next generations to be here. And so we take that all very seriously. And so I'm in charge of people who, I don't know exactly what they're doing, but they do a lot of driving and collecting. And they're a long distance team. They're going to the farthest reaches of this planet that we're on because I deal a lot with, I guess, keeping that flame going in each person. It's important that I know what their daily life is. And so pretty regularly, I ride along with them just to ride along with them. And they're excited to have me ride along with them because they think I'm a good time. And because we like laugh the whole time, but also I take very seriously the times when they don't want to laugh and the times when they, you know, the things that they're struggling with and, you know, whether it's within themselves or interpersonally, like among other people, my job is to really know like the vibe of them and the work they're doing. And so that is my job, is to go with them a lot. It's not like some manager ride along once a year that's like awkward for everybody. It's literally my job. It's normal. It's like we're all working on that project and that's my role. They don't see me as above them, you know? Yeah. It's more just kind of peacekeeper, but it's more than that. It's trying to enrich them and understanding what that would take. So I do a lot of traveling, which as Gina, that makes sense because a lot of times when I'm traveling, it sounds so crazy to say. I've never said it out loud ever, not once. But sometimes when I'm driving and I look in my rearview mirror, I see the red planet and I see the red planet through my rearview mirror as Gina.
Wow.
And I can like almost see inside this truck that I'm in and I can almost see what I'm wearing. And it's really cool for me to put that together as Gina.
Yeah.
To see that. Cause it's like, oh my gosh, I see that so much and it's spontaneous. You know, I won't even be thinking about the red planet and I'll be driving and I'll look in my rearview mirror and it doesn't even matter what's in my rearview mirror for real, because the vividness from my third eye is like, wow, I can see the red planet through that.
That's amazing.
It's like a portal. Yeah, it's so
like
cool.
Seeing through dimension through that mirror.
Yeah.
Is there anything hanging from the mirror, or like, is there any fun things in this truck that represent you as Axe?
It's these, I thought it was toothpick, but it's more like a popsicle stick. It's a pack of them and they have mint on them, a mint flavor. Mm-hmm. like minty toothpicks, but it's a more a popsicle stick, but smaller. And we don't have gum or anything on this planet. And they're this little treat, this little wooden treat. And they're a natural product from where we come from. And they last forever and they're tiny. So it's easy to store them. And I don't always have them. And so it's a special treat when I do have them. The shipment on Earth terms comes like once a year for some of these supplies. But, you know, my chewing sticks last like half that time, you know. So I've like got my fresh chewing sticks or whatever I call them, gum replacement. And that's the main thing that was sitting on the dash. I was excited to see them.
And if you look in your review mirror as X, is there any other dimension or worlds that pop in?
Yeah, I get the sense that all the miles I've driven, she can see sometimes in hers.
That's beautiful.
And it's, who knows what that is, but the way as X, I see it, I knew that I was working with other facets of my soul, other incarnated parts of my consciousness. But just putting that together as X, she's like, whoa, thanks for driving all those miles. Because the more I drive, the more she sees. And while she's too young to know Earth, she, for some reason, she knew it wasn't the planet her people originate from, but people on that planet know what Earth is on some level. And so she was like, oh, I can spontaneously see Earth. And she always thought that was really cool, having been too young to have actually lived on Earth. And so she's, as X, I guess, it feels like I am just putting that together of like, oh, those are your road trips. That's so cool.
That is cool.
We were connected there. Yeah, we were connected there and didn't really know it, I guess.
And while Axe is driving with her coworkers or the people she works with and supports, are they all human beings or do any of them appear to be something different? Or feel like something different.
Who I am as X is who I'm in charge of are humans, or like humans, I guess. They're humans. And, or like humans, I don't know, is human related to Earth only? I don't know how these things work. But they look like humans. But on the planet, there are other beings that come and go more frequently than we do for different projects and stuff like that. And so that would be like the praying mantis that I encountered in my last session. So as X, I'm like in it, right? So as X, I'm like, and then of course, little grays. Like everybody works with them, you know. Of course, we have our own little grays too. So that was kind of funny. But then it also came through as another being I'm working with is this planet. And it's almost like this planet's energy around the planet is something that I actually see as a coworker.
And where do you go next? Where does Axe go next?
On this trip, it's just me in this little truck that I have. And I'm driving. I came to this really steep part of this road, and it's just one road. It's the width of one vehicle, and it's driving on this ridge. And of course, as Gina, don't want to look over the ridge, but as Axe, I'm giggling. Just, it's exhilarating to drive on the edge like that. And Okay, so I'm getting the sense that as Axe, I'm just driving and I'm going to a really beautiful lookout point. And I don't know what it is, but on Earth, we have sunrise and sunset. And I think they have that on the red planet, but there's something midday too. Something happens midday. So just like how we might go to drive to a place where it's a nice place to watch the sunrise or the sunset. As Axe, I've driven to this ridge where I can overlook this valley or kind of like this deep crater and watch whatever happens midday. Mm. I don't know what happens midday. I don't know if there's like a couple planets in the sky, but I can't get that read. And then Axe was going to pause here in this peaceful place and we can ask those questions.
How cool. Can you know that you're embodying a higher consciousness?
So I'm speaking as Axe. And just the idea of seeking a higher consciousness is the key that unlocks that door. The seeking is something that should never stop. Mm-hmm. When someone thinks they know everything, like they're not going to learn.
Yeah.
They're not even going to learn in a simple conversation. And so that seeking, I'll say, should always be there. But there is no wrong way to live. You can live your life in any way that you want. It's just for Axe on this planet with the morals and values and ethics that she lives by and that community lives by, there is a should, because they have a goal of harmony and peace and expanding awareness and consciousness and compassion and harmony. And so that's kind of the framework there, I guess, when I use words like should do this or that this is the better way. It's relative to what she wants, what I want as Axe, as that portion of the soul. So no, everyone should always seek to expand their awareness, heighten their consciousness, understand that more, understand themselves more. In doing that, we understand other people more. We have more compassion. And you know you're embodying it. How do you know when you're embodying it? Okay, I'm trying to, as Gina, trying to distill down these two like big ideas that are coming in. So how do you know when you're embodying it? The first one is that seeking. And part of that seeking on Earth would be learning from the third dimension, reading, listening to things, watching things, education, deep dives into topics you want to know about, deep dives into spirituality, deep dives into consciousness. So part of that is the actual seeking, not just to be open to it, but the actual seeking. Because the more different points of view, deeper knowledge that we take in as a human on Earth, the more knowledge we have. Man, this is hard to get. It's almost like if you think of knowledge and seeking wisdom, and I'm talking about just yourself, leading yourself on some sort of learning journey, it's almost like the cup from which you can gain wisdom from your higher self, from your eternal soul's knowing, from the collective consciousness, that cup gets bigger, deeper, wider. Because you have more awareness, more knowledge of how these things can come in, how they can look, the ways they can be varied. It's almost like if someone is an adult and they never learn something new, they don't seek knowledge, they don't spark their curiosity, that's a limiting consciousness. Mm-hmm. And we're missing out on so much. And so seeking knowledge and seeking, and some people aren't passionate. Some people don't know what they would do if they had all the free time in the world. And it's just simply about, what are you curious about? What are the questions that pop in your mind? And if you don't know what those are, just then step one is just listening for them, listen for when your internal dialogue has a question. Maybe question your internal dialogue is a good place to start too. So it's about finding that curiosity, allowing your passion and your curiosity and your interests to kind of expand the education that you're taking in, the learning that you're doing, the knowledge that you're seeking and absorbing. And then from there, so that's one way. It's a constant, that's the intake. And then there's the outtake, which is the way it looks to other people, kind of. The outtake is the way I'm acting and responding to the world. And does it uplift everyone, including me? And there's no solution that's like, well, it's only good for these people. Shrug about the other people. Like, we don't stop. We're diligent. How can I make this good for me and everyone else? And I feel like there's more questions in that to ask personally, but that's kind of the biggest one. That's the biggest one. So it's like how to make it a win for everyone, how to uplift everyone, including ourselves, and not to put anyone above anyone else, but to honestly revere everybody as an equal and revere them as an equal, but no, do not expect them to be equal. Everyone's different, and to revere them. And so in that, we seek what is special about you. What is, you know, even the people as acts, even the people who drive me absolutely crazy, you could say, don't drive me crazy, because I use that energy. I don't experience resentment because I say what I feel and I feel what I say and I'm honest and I'm responsible and I'm aware. And so everything I say, I don't have to fear saying it or doing it, because I know that I'm doing it with the highest and greatest good of everyone, including me, in mind. And if someone tells me, hey, that hurt, or hey, that's not working, or hey, that's causing harm, I am not offended. I honestly want to know, what did I do wrong? How can I do better? Because my intention is to highest and greatest for everyone. And as Gina, when I can experience that within acts, that's like on a whole other level of reverence. As Gina, I see that as an option, but I rarely hit the mark. And especially when emotions are involved, it gets really difficult for me as Gina. And what Axe is saying is there is no personal motive besides highest and best for everyone. And everyone around on the red planet trusts that. And so, Steph, if we were on the red planet and you were doing something and I didn't agree with it and it was like, I thought it was causing harm, like I should say something. Now this is my business for some reason. As Gina, I would kind of sweat that conversation. I don't know, maybe call a friend and be like, how should I bring it up? Whatever. And I don't know what's motivating that. I mean, to me, that seems responsible as Gina. But what Axe is showing me and saying is, why even sweating that conversation? Everyone there is the same. They want highest and greatest for everyone. So if someone looks at someone else's behavior and they interpret this as harmful, it's literally curiosity. Like, wait, I see this could be harmful. You don't? Let's talk about it. Or I see this as causing harm. I'm curious as to why you're still doing it. You don't see this as harmful? Or are you using this energy in a different way? And that is such an interesting difference to see.
Is it like a trust and integrity, like automatic that?
Oh my God, you read my mind, because I was trying to think like, well, what's the difference? Because honestly, sometimes as Gina, now I'm not saying I nail this at all. I fumble this all the fucking time. But a lot of times that is literally how I operate, like highest and best for everyone. Like, I live alone and I still am super tidy, pick up my shit, because I'm like, what if everyone did this? What if everyone picked up their shit? What if everyone left their shit laying around? Like, even to the core, when I'm alone, I live like that. And that's like a small example, and I'm not perfect at all, but I'm always at least have that in my mind, even if I don't always do it or abide by it. It's always in my mind. But the amount of times that's been in my mind, and I assume, not consciously, but unconsciously assume, someone's kind of thinking the same way, I will say, why would you do that? A, B, and C. And it's almost like questioning anyone's behavior for any reason. They take offense for it. And to me, it's more a curiosity thing. And I would think if someone was tuned into the vibes, they would feel that it was curiosity. And some people actually do. And so then they'll say, oh, you're really easy to talk to. Thanks for bringing that up, blah, blah, blah. But when people are just like reacting in their own shit, they miss that. And that is, it's not like, oh, that's because they have rotten morals and values that they live their life by. It's just that it's different than mine. Mm-hmm. And to say someone's doing something and you're curious as to why they're doing it is offensive. Like, if I sat here and thought about it, I could probably give you no less than 20 incidences in the last 6 months where I withheld the question of, why would you do that? Or what's going on there? Where I'm not judging the person, but I am so just curious as to, like, what the fuck is going on with you?
What is going on in the mind? And I mean, does that have anything to do with embodiment or the wisdom, like the triggers that people or you feel? How does that connect to embodying wisdom or lessons? What can we know about triggers?
So she acts as explaining something. I don't know if this is just Gina, or it's probably more than just me, but I don't know if this is like, I'm not saying humans in general, but to be triggered, what that means to Gina is that I'm feeling a negative emotion that's like so overwhelming that like I can't finesse anything besides the raw power in my body. And what she's saying is that it's almost like that's your body living in the past. And it's something that it's a reaction that, not making a comment on why we do it, but if we're just looking at this thing in my life, I want to change it because it's bringing me things I don't want in my life. She's saying, if you look at that, if you know who you truly are, which is a spirit and a body and a mind, you will know that you're not your body. And so then it becomes easier to start to separate from the emotion. It starts to become easier to feel the emotion, but almost have your awareness raise above that emotion where you can still think, you can still operate under the intentions and morals and beliefs and with who you want to be in mind, like the highest and greatest version of you. And so it's almost this, instead of just kind of swimming around in that water, knowing you're in that water, knowing you don't have to be, and trying to come up out of it, like raise your awareness out of it. And what I'm being shown is my second ayahuasca weekend last year in 2024 was this high, high levels of anxiety and just like electricity in my chest for hours. And that's what I was training to do, was to lift my awareness above that anxiety. Can your body feel like this and you experience peace? Can your body be reacting this way and you still experience joy? Can your heart be thudding that loud and just so much static electrical energy in your chest and you're still able to feel harmony in some part of you? And that's the practice. And here on earth, time and repetition is one way to do that. And, you know, there are other things that might help you go quicker, but it's really just the time and the repetition. And so what Axe is saying is, she's in the mindset of, if she were to ever have a bodily experience like that, it would be such a moment, because she never feels like that. And she would just immediately feel curiosity and gratitude. Like, oh my gosh, can I help you? I love this body. I love this body. You're in pain. I want to help. And so it's almost to see this body as not your child, but this thing, that this entity that you're in charge of, and to feel that trigger and help soothe yourself through it. And one way to have the clarity of what could soothe you through it is to allow your awareness to kind of come up above that. And one way to do that is to practice in those times, even when you feel just a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of, you know, whatever it is that is triggering you, to in that moment make that decision, to in that moment see it and then feel gratitude for it, so you can like work in the opposite direction. Yeah. And it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But worth it.
And for that sure. Being said, what can Gina know about the value that she can gain from being pulled to the negative?
It's just comfortable. So I ask that question as Gina because sometimes I feel my spiritual work is just pulling me out of negative spin after negative spin. And so I wonder, is there a part of me that gets off on that? Why? And I've gotten answers to that in certain situations, but sometimes I think I should be farther along on this journey than I am. And so what is the holdup? And that is, it's just comfort.
Yeah.
It's just comfort. And so when I notice I'm being negative, just to be like, oh, isn't this comfortable? Not really, actually. Sucks to be here. You're just used to it.
And do you ever get curious about the transformation from being in that negative mindset and then being able to witness yourself elevate to a more higher awareness or transmute it?
No, as Gina, I don't think of it like that. I think even just literally last night, I was talking to a close friend about a situation that could be great or go horribly wrong. Like, it could literally go either way. And I cannot stop having the reaction that it's going to go horribly. And it's like, why do I always pick that? And last night, it was this feeling of drudgery, like pulling myself out of it, saying, I'm not going to say one more word about this, change the subject, bring up a story to this other person. And it took all the effort in me. And it was like I forgot about it the moment we had shifted the conversation. And instead, it's like to celebrate in that moment, to be like, oh, what is this little juicy thing that I can dig into and change and transmute and get the equal and opposite in my life? And with any situation, could go horrible, could go great. You don't know. All you can do is do your best on the way there and know that, get present, do your best when you're there. And that's like all you can do. And then just get curious. So yeah, even just tying that of like, yeah, embodying her reaction of when she felt the trigger in her body and she was just like, whoa, holy moly.
Yeah. And
curiosity,
having that experience, knowing that she was able to see your travels, maybe you can tune into her essence and be like, what do you find curious here? Because this is uncomfortable. And just maybe see what she sounds or feels.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I'm totally going to do that.
I have a question for X.
Yeah.
Is there something that you heard about Earth, a place or an experience that really got you excited or curious about experiencing yourself or through the mirror?
I feel so much joy and giddiness as her that you asked that question. And she, okay, so it's almost like talking about Earth on the red planet is like talking about other lifetimes or fairies or other planets and ETs on Earth. And she doesn't get to talk to, even though everyone's very open-minded and a really high consciousness, there's, the more we're aware of, the greater our consciousness is, the more there is to focus on. And so even though no one's like judging her or being mean to her or thinking less of her because she's interested in Earth and the lore around what Earth was, no one's judging her for it, but most people, at least here, aren't interested in it. And so that's actually something that her and Baron and this other council member, G, they really bond over that. They bond over their interest of Earth. And she is saying it sounds so idyllic because where they come from is so beautiful. And it's a lot like Earth, mountains and green, and there's deserts and lush area, and there's snow and tropics. It's so much more dangerous, treacherous. Like, you would only go in the ocean if you're going to die, and people would go to the ocean to die. And you would only climb a mountain if you're, like, willing to die, because avalanches and, like, there's just, it's, like, so treacherous. So it almost seems this friendlier, milder version than their planet. And to think of that, people don't like to do that because it kind of puts their planet down, and they're very much into like holding their planet up, like in a healthy way, not in a, we're better than anyone else. And so that's another thing that if we encounter here being kind of witchy, we encounter religious people who are kind of like, oh, it's interesting, but I'm scared. It's the same there. Like, well, Earth seems kind of interesting, but I don't want to put some other place above our home or where we come from. And so they just don't, even though she's like, sure, it might look like that, but she can revere both places. And so she doesn't get to talk to a lot of people about Earth. And she heard stories just from elders. And she comes from a family, like a DNA family on that planet, who has lived on the Red Planet and worked and devoted their lives to the Red Planet. And for whatever reason, those people, just like here on Earth, you might come from kind of a witchy family. She comes from a family who is like very into that and interested in Earth. And she just doesn't get a lot of it. And she knows that there's an aspect of her soul that lives there. And so that's why she was, maybe that's what it was. She was intentionally calling in an Earth facet of her soul. And that was one of the reasons why I came in. But she, it just, even though it sounds hard and at least on that timeline, Earth is not a thing anymore. who knows? But she has a very fond place in her heart and the nature here. She loves nature. She loves to be outside. Yeah, just if she can do more of that, see more beauty. That's what she really likes about Earth too.
So if she could switch bodies with you one day, what would be the first thing she wants to experience?
She's like, I'm going to go on your road trips.
Yeah.
Yeah, she wants to go on a road trip. That's what she would do.
And so just spending a few moments here with her. Does she have any other messages for you or anything else she wants to share?
So this is kind of crazy, but I said to her, I said, I have a road trip coming up. It's going to be so good. And so I invited her along, and I don't really even know what that means, but I just told her where I was going and what I was doing and why I'm going there. And so I'm inviting her to have an experience with me, and which is always my request, but it's never this crystal clear for me. But I just said, maybe you could make it an undeniable experience for me. And she was like, just kind of laughed. Like, you know, on Earth, we always need this like big burning bush moment to really grab onto it. And she was like, emotions are the truest thing. You're feeling it right now. And that's all that really matters. And so it's almost like if I feel this overwhelming feeling of love and connectedness, that my hope is that she's there experiencing it with me. And then I'm still holding out hope she'll maybe do a full apparition in front of me on Mount Shasta. TBD. Invites out there.
Taking in any extra wisdom, maybe holding the sand in your hand, and slowly watch it fall out of your hands as we return to the present moment. 3, 2, and 1.
Ooh, oh my God. Man, that was crazy about the road trip.
That was so cool.
And the rearview mirror stuff.
Yeah, the rearview mirror got me like emotional almost.
Yeah, and it sounds so wild, but yeah, I would spontaneously see the red planet and I would spontaneously feel like I was driving on the red planet and I would hang on to that feeling as long as I could, and it would only last like a few minutes. That is our episode for today. Thanks so much for being here. You can learn more about my work at seersessions.com.